8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Are we on?
We are back with podcast number 46. And before we start, I don't know if you realize that on the 25th of this month was our 2-year anniversary.
Woo!
Yay! Can you believe that?
Are we potty trained though?
I think we are. We are potty-matic trained.
Potomatic? Yes, that's right. I get it now.
That was so cheesy.
Pretty good one.
But anyway, yeah. So it's 2 years. 46 podcasts in 2 years.
That's a miracle.
I know it is. With all the traveling we've done and everything and all that's been going on in normal life.
So I know people may not think about this, but it really just is a huge effort that we make because we love you all.
Yes.
To do these podcasts, but to try to get us all in the same place at the same time on a regular basis is a divine miracle from God.
Getting people focused is the act of parting the Red Sea.
It is. It's really, just for tonight.
We get our Red Sea certificate. That's what we get.
We had to make sure everything was set and Mama was okay and the cats were fed.
And Bing wouldn't walk in and ask where his dinner was.
And then a random possum came up and started eating the cat's food.
So we had to deal with it.
So, yeah.
But we're going to do it.
We are.
Yes.
And we're excited. And we are talking about
Your race.
Yes. Run your race. Mm-hmm. And
why is it run your race? Why isn't it run somebody else's race?
Because we weren't called to run someone else's race.
That's right.
We're each given a race to run, and that's the most important one.
Oh, that rhyme. All right, Holy Spirit.
So what's your thoughts on this subject, Kat?
I have a lot. Like 20 years worth, but we're going to condense it, okay?
Okay.
Into a few minutes. It is one of the most important things you need to know. If you think you don't have a race to run, you just haven't heard God, or you haven't thought it out clearly, because everyone was sent to this earth with a purpose, and God calls it running your race. It talks about it in the Word of God, and everyone in heaven is watching us run our race. Isn't that amazing? You know, Hebrews 12:1 talks about the great cloud of witnesses. Well, they're watching us run our race. They're watching all kinds of things, amazing things you get to do, fun things you get to do. But the most important thing, even for them, your loved ones in heaven, is for you to run your race. Their race is over. That's why they're living there. If you're still here and breathing, you haven't finished running your race. How about that? And so I know a lot of people go, well, I don't even know what that is. How do I get started? Well, get your running shoes on. Mm-hmm. Get in shape. That means make sure your soul is in a good place, right? Do a soul checkup.
That could be a next podcast.
Probably every day of your life to make sure that your soul can prosper, because it's so important for your soul to be prospering while you run your race. And of course, the other things God has taught us about introducing a whole new way to live on this earth.
How does that affect you then, the soul? Because if we're going to talk about people running their race, that might be one of the things. I notice some people, they have a lot of things going on. How does their soul affect them running their race? And how can they practically make sure that their soul isn't getting in the way? What's a symptom of the soul getting in the way?
Almost anything.
Yes.
Give me what
your
kind of
emotions
things?
Yeah. Is the number one way to tell if your soul is interfering or inspiring you to run your race. If it's not, if what you're feeling in yourself or what you think about, what you speak about is not something that's empowering, encouraging, or inspiring, then that means you're either listening to the wrong voices, you aren't even trying to run your race, or your emotions are a mess. Your soul actually is a mess. Because out of the heart or the soul, the man speaks, right? You speak. What is in there will be revealed. There's all kinds of things in the Word of God that talk about the soul. The soul is you. That's who you are. For all my life, I heard, you know, that I'm a spirit, I live in a body, and I have a soul, and that's not quite right. You actually are a soul, according to God. when he made Adam and finished with all that, he said he is now a living soul. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to say, who are we? We are living souls that came from heaven to run our race. If you want to say that in a sentence. So if you're fearful all the time, if you're angry all the time, if you're confused all the time.
Depressed
all the time. That means there's something in your soul that needs to be out.
So if you like soul music, are you more spiritual?
That depends on what soul music is to you.
Okay, sorry, I didn't mean to bring
that
up.
Because guess what? That can either mess you up or inspire you. Music can. That's a good subject to bring up.
Right.
Because if you're listening to the wrong kind of music, like the kind that's always, you know, fearful, if you're depressed, if these songs are depressing, if they make you look weak or feel weak or you're upset about something, that's not the right stuff
confess,
to listen to.
I listen to the Bee Gees and I don't know what that means about me.
Oh, well, the Bee Gees are pretty fun. You know, I was around in that time before you were alive.
Hey, they're staying alive.
Either one of the people with me here today were not alive when I was young, okay? Nor when I was a teenager. So I know a lot, have lived a lot, and it's very important that you are listening to the right things, watching the right things, and you have the right friends.
Yeah.
You need friends who will inspire and encourage you. Not people you're always dragging up all the time because they're in a hole, they're in a slump, or they're angry all the time. Pray for them. Find some good, solid Christian friends who can you can do fun things with, be encouraged when you call them. Not every time you call them, you know that they're going to want, they're either going to preach a sermon to you or they're going to drag on you, pull on you because they're a mess and they want you to fix them. I understand there's people all over the world that are a mess. And they need help. Number one, they need to make sure they have Jesus Christ as their number one. Because if you have Jesus and you're running that race with him, you'll be excited. You will be happy. You may not be perfect yet, but you will be excited. You'll be happy because you know him and you know that he's with you. So I'd have to say, number one, get any fear out of your life. The enemy loves to use it as a weapon. If you're going to run your race, and it says to get rid of every weight that holds you back from the prize. And that prize is the high calling of God in your life, that you're achieving what he put you here for, and you're doing it happily. Okay, I have a race. I'm running my race. Let me tell you, I've never stopped running my race. I'll be running my race for a very long time. And I have to do it regardless of everything else going on in my life. Like today, there was a lot of things going on in my life, but I let them all go aside. And I still did the...
Cat on the go.
Go
to YouTube. Check it out.
I'm doing the podcast. I met with my artist and got stuff done about the movie project. I still made sure my husband had food to eat.
You fed the possum?
I fed the cats, and then the possum fed himself from the cat's food.
You made sure you talked to all the staff.
I talked to all the staff and encouraged them, said hi, said goodbye when they left. I had to make sure my mom had what she needed, and that this was a nice little quiet spot that we found in the midst of all this stuff to do our podcast. So you can't let other issues in your life or even things surrounding you stop you from running that race. That's what builds your faith. That's what gives you the greatest joy. If you're running around outside trying to find a person who can give you that joy, that is a mistake. Jesus, number one. Jesus is the number one in your life. You, his joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. There you go. It's something you need for your race. Make sure you've got that in order. You make sure you've got your life in order before you start looking outside your race. Make sure that race is solid and you're running in the direction you're supposed to be, achieving the things God called you to do in this season in your life.
And what if somebody comes along and says, I think I'm supposed to be part of your race?
Oh, what? That's a big one.
What do you mean, Jen?
You know, they feel like you're connected and you want to, they just want to...
They want to join into your thing. Do you ever have that cat with this, with your experience?
They think what they're doing is the same as what you're doing, and so...
So we should do it together.
Yes.
No, that's not true.
I mean, there are times where God allows people's races to overlap momentarily.
Yeah, sometimes they do. Sometimes they come alongside to encourage you or to say something from God. sometimes he will have, like, let's say you're in a whole different work environment, not necessarily right here where we are, but let's just say it's a normal work environment. And sometimes God will call you to that place for a season, for to either to use your gift or maybe mentor, inspire, or empower somebody who's at that place of business where he will send you for a while, and then he will send you somewhere else. That happens a lot. Sometimes for a season you're at a specific place. But if God, these are major things to know. If he sent you somewhere, and you shouldn't just up and leave because you're disgusted or you're disappointed or something else.
Or it's not going fast enough.
Or they don't play the Bee Gees on the radio.
If God is not done with you there, I would not leave. This is one of the ways you can see that. He gives you miracles along the way on your race. Mm-hmm. So God will do special impartations. He'll do special blessings or just outright miracles. Something you could never achieve or make happen yourself. If he has done this, then I would be real cautious about leaving that part of your race without getting with God and saying, are you ready for me to go someplace else? Are you ready to take me to a different place? That could be moving. That could be changing the physical job. That could be all kinds of things. You need to make sure that is what God wants for your life, because sometimes it's not easy to be in the race. I mean, I've been running this race now for 63 years. I've been a believer that long. Things changed in my life. Situations changed. But I always made sure I check with God. Is this you? And sometimes God would literally say to me, and sometimes it was a hard place, and God would say, no, when you can love these people in this place that are not being nice to you, then I will let you leave. It took me 5 years, so maybe it won't take you as long. But the thing is this, you make sure you're hearing God, because then you're covered. Because I happen to know from God, when you obey, it is okay.
Yeah.
And so maybe you think, well, this sounds like a better place because it's better than where I'm at. You make sure it's God before you leave, because he's the one who gave you that race. He's the one who put you on that track. He opens doors for you while you're on the right track. And I know a lot of people who just got disgusted and left where they were, and now they're doing nothing.
You don't want a Jonah in the whale experience.
You don't want to be Jonah in the whale, okay? That's already been done. But this is mainly to encourage and inspire you. Like, we do get calls from people. People send us things like books, like scripts, like artwork, like all kinds of things that products. Are wonderful.
Yeah, products.
They're wonderful. They're amazing. Like, maybe jewelry they've made, and I'm blessed by what people give me. But sometimes it's not the point. It's not their point to give it just as a gift. They want me to come alongside with them and do something, and that's not going to happen. I have my race outlined probably for the next 100 years.
And God's
very specific, and he shows me or takes me into the future to show me what I'm supposed to be doing. So people who come up and say, I believe God is telling me to do this with you, they probably haven't heard correctly. I will pray for these people. I will even inspire and encourage them to run their race with what God gave them. If God gives you something and you even have an encounter with him, that means he made that for you to do. You get with God. You find out how he wants you to develop it, make it, put it in the marketplace, or maybe it's a system you're learning to operate in that can help other people. You focus on what he said to you for you to do. Mm. Because that does not mean you're supposed to come and be a part of what I'm doing, or people even ask if I can just leave what I'm doing and come do what they're doing.
We won't let her.
They won't let me. But this is the thing. I have my race, but your race is important too. Everybody has a gift he sent you with. That gift is very important. It will make room for you in your life to go before great people, to do great things, but you have to be operating in that. You have to be pursuing it.
Can I throw something in? Because I've had this experience a couple of times. I don't know if you can relate to this. I mean, you have more encounters than most people. But there's been times, like a few years ago, whatever, when you can be just in a little season of your life, and the only evidence that you think God has spoken to you is that you just kind of know he spoke to you. But you don't see anything to confirm it. You don't see any evidence that your life can ever go in that direction. And I think that might be something that people, like, I've had a few of those experiences where I thought I was really, really sure God spoke to me. But then it might be years and you don't see any evidence that that was true. Can you relate to that? Have you ever had things that were spoken to you and you're like, there's no evidence at all that everything is going to happen, that what you knew he said to you for absolute sure is on the cards for you? It's like, that's kind of a pretty common thing, I think. People are in that place.
He has done that with me, and sometimes it was 50 years. Not that it will take you 50 years to be in that place, but because he was training me to be a trainer of people in heaven culture, in ruling and reigning, you know, commanding the army. I had a long list he was giving me, so it took him a longer time probably to train me. But there were years that would go by, and I wouldn't hear anything else at one time. And
about one thing, about a specific thing.
About one specific thing. Mm-hmm. And I would still remain, doing what he asked me to do, mm-hmm. especially pursuing him, spending time with him. I never let up on that. And then Christ would literally come in person sometimes and say, okay, for the next 3 years, we'll be doing this with you. That was after pursuing for 5 years to find exactly what they wanted. I did make mistakes along the way. I can't say that I was not perfect, but I never stopped pursuing him. It was the number one thing I know that touched his heart, was that I would be willing to remain where he wanted me to remain and trust him. And you need to say to God, I trust you even if I don't hear. I will let you know this. He heard you say that.
Yeah. Mm.
And he's told me, I wrote it down every time you said it. And sometimes I do that throughout the year about certain things. I will say, even though I can't see it or I don't know all of it, I want you to know that I trust you. Mm-hmm. You are the only one I serve. You are my God. I will not serve another, but I will trust you. I can't tell you how many times, it may even be 6 months later, God would say to me, I want you to know that I was delighted the day you said that to me. So don't ever think he does not hear you. He has great things for you. And some of them are for a certain time. And like I said, he literally has told me things 50 years in advance. And I would still every now and then say, I'm still trusting you for this, what you said to me. And as long as I obeyed, he would open the doors I needed opened. And even though sometimes it was like you came up against just,
a brick wall. Mm-hmm.
As long as I told him, I worship you and I love you and I still trust you, sometimes those walls would melt. So I'm telling you, the main thing is that builds your faith. And there were times when I didn't hear him say anything. And no one said anything to me about what he said to me. But it didn't stop me from pursuing him, because from the time I was little, I watched my own dad do that. And my dad was very successful in hearing God clearly. Later on in his years, it may not have been then, maybe 20 years later, he would hear God say, but he would actually get to do what God said. You can't give up. Don't get distracted. Don't get pulled off onto another path because you say, well, I know he said to do this, but this looks better. That's a mistake.
Yeah, that's a huge mistake.
It's a mistake. You don't want to do that.
Do you think people want to do what you want to do, Kat?
I think some people do, but they have no idea the price that I've had to pay to be where I'm at right now.
How do they know what they want to do then? How can their thing be as exciting as your... I mean, because like, we all know you, so we know it's not as exciting as everyone else thinks it is or whatever. But how do people get more excited about their own thing than somebody else's? Because it seems to have all
when
the bells and whistles.
They know that they are in the will of God is what brings you joy.
Yeah.
It's not even another person. And people always look for someone else because they don't think this doesn't seem right. Or maybe it doesn't sound right. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean God changed his mind. I can tell people, I know when he says something, he means it. And unless he tells me something differently, I'm not going to change what he has said to me. It's kept me in a place of safety, a place of intimacy with him. But I will tell you this, that I learned the greatest joy you will ever have is knowing you are in the will of God, even when things are going crazy around you. And I have been in that place quite a few times in my life, and knowing that I'm right where he wants me, even though it was hard, even though it was challenging, I stayed there. Some people who think they want to do what I do, they would have given up 2 weeks into what I'm doing. They would have given up years ago. They wouldn't have had the faith. They wouldn't have had the tenacity. They wouldn't have had the boldness to stay where he needs you to be. And I will tell you this, the longer it takes in God's training you, it means the greater the call he has on your life. If you have a simple life and it's pretty easy most of the time, That means maybe you weren't called to be something really great for him, but the ones who have a great call in their life will have some of the most challenging lives. So I really encourage you. That's good news. And the other thing I want to say that is evidence, the evidence that you're in the right place is that you have things come against you, that you have people say things about you that aren't true, that it looks like everything's falling apart. That's the evidence. Remind God, I'm seeing the evidence of what you promised me. I'm not letting go. And I'm going to give a real good example right here. I had a pastor friend who already has 6 churches. He's a powerful man of God, and he's a good businessman. He saw an opportunity to get a church that was a $60 million church, and it was going on the auction block because the people weren't in the right place. They were into distractions and stuff, so I'm not saying any names or anything. You probably don't know them, but they were doing things that caused them to fall behind on the race in what they were supposed to be doing. So they had lost this place, and it was going on the auction block. And rather than it go to the world, this pastor friend of mine said, I'm going to go to downtown and before City Hall, and I'm going to make a bid on that place. And he wasn't even in town, so he called his personal assistant. They went. He said, you will bid this much, because he heard the Holy Spirit, a certain amount, you will bid this much. And they did, and they got that place. And let me tell you, there was celebration all over in their church. Everybody was celebrating. He called me and let me know that he got the place. I went, okay, I'll be praying for you. And it didn't take but about a week before, like, it hit the fan. And the people who lost the place starting publicly ridiculing this pastor who actually rescued this beautiful piece of property from going to the world for him to use it for God's glory. They got angry. They felt like he should offended. Give it to them. You just need to give it to us now that you have it. Well, that wasn't right either, because God had given it to this pastor who he knew would use it for his glory, and he would open another way for the others to have something. But they chose to bash and falsely accuse even to the news media. So it got in the papers. So he calls me and he said, what should I do? I said, you should have a party. You should start celebrating right now, because they're the evidence that what you did was God, because it says you shall have lands and properties and buildings in this life with persecution. Mm-hmm. And I said, can't you see the persecution is the evidence that you have exactly what God wanted you to have? And the realization of that revelation hit him, and he went back, and the whole church had this massive party to thank God for this beautiful property. He went to the other people and told them he forgave them for the slander and the other stuff. Went to the news and explained the reality of what actually happened without saying anything wrong about the other people. He did what was right before God. And God has blessed him, blessed him, blessed him. The other people stopped persecuting him. But he looked at it the way you should look at persecution. It's evidence that you're going to have what you are pursuing, because the persecution, you know, the word says with persecution, you will have these things. Mm-hmm. So that doesn't mean you won't go through trials. It doesn't mean you won't have things trying to stop you, but you have to keep going forward in that race.
Yeah.
Exactly what God sent you here for.
And the Bible even says, count it all joy
when you fall into diverse temptations and trials.
Yeah.
So don't we start doing what the Bible actually says?
Joy and celebration.
It says celebrate. It says to realize these things are a witness for what you're doing is God.
And what it does to the enemy when you celebrate and have joy and have fun during these hard times,
yes,
it totally confuses the enemy's brain. He can't.
So while you were talking earlier, I don't sort of feel like I hear from God that much, but I definitely heard him say this. I heard him, because you're going to put a picture of a horse for this podcast, right?
Yes, for running your race.
I've heard him say to me, he picks the course of the horse for the course. So no matter what anybody is thinking, he picks you for that race, so you don't have to qualify yourself.
That's right.
He picks the horse for the course.
Yeah.
I feel like that's for somebody, like, I really heard that.
Yep.
Yes, and also you have to remember that he doesn't choose as man chooses. God qualifies the chosen.
Yeah.
You don't need to have man's permission. You don't need to have man's, you know, to qualify you or validate you. God does that.
Yep.
And in this day, many people, even unknown people, are going to be doing great things for God. So I really want to encourage you. You run your race the way God showed you to run your race. And then he will be the one who will open the doors. He will validate you, and he will cause miracles to begin to happen in your life. So you need to start claiming that and declaring that in your life for yourself.
Yep, that's good. That's really cool.
That was a good part of a podcast. That was good. So do we have questions? Do we have some other part?
You ready for some questions?
Yeah, I'm ready for some questions.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read two different questions. One is from YouTube. We talked about YouTube earlier. Kat has a YouTube playlist now called On the Go with Kat. And there's...
It's cool. It's quick. And it's for you.
Yes. Very revelatory stuff, fun stuff. Just, you know, you guys will love
tips.
It. So, yeah, tips. So go check it out. We just did one yesterday and then one today. And there's a question on the one for yesterday. If you haven't gone to see it, it's called Evicting Darkness. And Kat shows everybody what to do in their homes.
In your home.
And what to say, how to kick out the enemy. So this question comes from...
That doesn't mean your in-laws.
No.
And do us a favor while you're doing that. Go to your favorite social media outlet and post that video there.
Yes.
Because it's quick and it's easy and you might be surprised.
It can help other people.
This question is from Charlotte. And she wanted to say thank you for sharing this valuable lesson on how to evict darkness and the demonic from our homes. But I have a question, she says. How do you continue to evict darkness from your home if members of your family are not yet saved, and that includes your spouse? I am, however, learning to release the anointing into everything that they touch and eat, as well as send the host. Is there anything else that I should do that could help at all?
Absolutely. There's always something, there's always more that you can do to create a habitation for heaven in your home, which should be the goal of every single believer, regardless of who lives there.
Yes.
If you are the strongest believer there, then you have the greatest authority in the spirit realm. Like you were talking about, sending the host, that's great. Releasing the anointing is an absolute must for people who've never done that. And let's say you have rebellious children. After they leave and go off somewhere, go lay on their bed. Release the anointing in their beds so that they're literally sleeping and laying in the anointing. Go to the clothes they wear in their closet. Just touch them and say, I release the anointing. The anointing breaks the yoke of darkness. Yes. That's what it does. It's a powerful weapon. Every believer has it. I would say definitely increase where you're putting the anointing. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful that you put it in certain things or places in your home. And I would do that on a regular basis. If you do that, I would say maybe once a week, once a month, depending on the situation in your home. Because the more you leave, it remains. Wherever you deposit the anointing, it will remain. So definitely find even more places to release it. And one thing I do if I go visit people, this might sound strange, I release the anointing in their shoes. Not when they're wearing them, okay? Like if I visit family members and they've left, you know, and these are people I know, I'll go, they will be walking in that anointing all day long. It will saturate their entire being. You can be very creative with the anointing.
Yes.
The other thing you can do is at nighttime, after everyone's gone to bed, this might be a stretch for some people, if you like to go to bed at 8 o'clock at night, I don't do that. It's more like in the morning that time. I will go out in the middle of the night, even if it's cold, I'll wrap up and I will take my staff and stand outside that home. And I begin to declare the things of God that he gave us for our life, for the way that we live. I would begin to declare what God has said to me, or I've heard other people say that God has declared these certain things to do, declare for their health, declare for their wholeness, in their body, their mind, their spirit, that God will give impartations to their soul, and that his presence will consume your entire dwelling place. Whatever you ask him for, it says, you have not because you ask not. It's one of the greatest tips I can give you, is to make sure that you're asking for the things of God to happen in your home. And I do that in private. That's why I choose to go outside and declare it. Not only that, you're blessing all the hosts that are around your home outside, if that's where they live, because you command an army. Make sure you're doing that, because no matter what man has said to you or given you to say, what God says, even in his word, you can stand outside and declare certain scriptures over your home, take something to hit the ground with. You can hit the sidewalk or the ground with it. If you don't have a staff, get a stick. Because your anointing is released all the way down to the very end. And where you hit that, if you can see in the spirit realm, it's like a cosmic shockwave
yep.
that will go from where your home is out, probably hundreds of miles. And you're building like a boundary that the enemy will not be able to enter into. If you do this on a continual basis, I literally go every night and do that. And like, if you want to know where I'm at 3 a.m., I'm outside with my staff declaring things. If you know somebody, you can use this for somebody else. If you know they're having issues or problems in their life, that is the best time to do it. Don't let man see you do it. It doesn't matter. But what you declare in your own time, in your own space where you rule, it does greater damage to the enemy and his plans than anywhere else that you could go. This is your space. I rule here. This is my realm, this city where I live, and I have released the anointing to go to the borders of my city. I will take my staff sometimes, and all I do is go and declare, and I will hit that staff on the ground. God loves prophetic acts, and you're making a statement, and when you hit that, let me tell you what, they know in hell you did that.
Yep.
You are bombarding hell with your statements of what you want God to do in your home. Specific family members, mention their name, declare what you want, what they need done, and what you want to see God do for them. You hit that staff every single time you declare something. And let me tell you, it hurts hell. It hurts every demon around. It pierces them. You don't understand the power and the glory that you carry as a believer if you're just born again. If you have the Holy Spirit, if you have revelation, then that means that stuff builds on the inside of you. And the more you release it from where you live, it's going to become dangerous for hell to come into that area, even into the area where you live. So there are major things that you can do. Yeah. You need to know who you are.
Yeah, that's true. And also that goes back to the running your race thing, because if you choose to celebrate and still choose to be happy in that situation, and you know, just pray in tongues, and because that'll uplift you and encourage you. If you're in a home where you don't get encouraged,
it builds you up in your most holy faith, it says in the Bible.
And the enemy can't understand it, and it confuses him. And
you need to understand that it is absolutely true that Satan cannot interpret tongues. He has no idea what you're praying. It's the perfect prayer. A lot of people have been filled with the Holy Spirit, then sometimes they never use it again. You need to do that also on a continual basis, once a week or twice a week or however much you want to. God knows what those tongues mean. He knows it's called the perfect prayer. That's what we always called it growing up. So you can pray in tongues sometimes. And so sometimes things don't change without fasting and prayer. That would be included in your prayer, would be those praying in tongues.
Yeah.
But you definitely, you are a believer. You are blood bought. Christ gave you power over all the power of the enemy. He said you could raise the dead, that if you pray for the sick, they will be healed. You have to let your faith reach out and believe that. You have to operate and live it. It's not a little quick fix it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about living it.
Yes.
It becomes a lifestyle. A lifestyle.
Yeah.
And we face things every single day like everyone else does, but we choose to loose the stuff from our soul that is not of God, and we bind to our soul the things that are God. And you can change the very way you feel if you will just say, I choose to bind the life of God, the love of God, the power of God, His presence, His plans for me. I bind those to my soul. No man can take that from you. And the more often you do it, you're building a foundation of God in you where things will begin to come and they won't touch you. So if you're offended right now, if you're in fear, if you're in depression or oppression, if you just can't take anymore, make sure you do that. It's simple, and guess what? It's free. But you have to choose. God said, this day I offer you life, I offer you death. Choose life. If you want more life of God in you, then you declare it and you bind that to your soul. It will begin to change the way you think and even the way you operate. So definitely, we have been empowered by God when we become believers.
It's so true. I mean, people, they they make sure they watch what they eat, and you know, they go to the gym to work out, and they go to the doctor every year for their checkups, but they're not doing what they can to protect their soul.
Their soul is the most important thing to protect. Yep. It really is.
Yep.
I've got a really simple question somebody asked me tonight. It's completely different, but I thought we were going
okay,
to
do it. Okay, we're ready for another
different
question.
Tangent.
Go right ahead.
Somebody asked me to ask you, it's a very simple question, what the trees look like in heaven. I know that sounds silly.
Oh, no.
Well, that depends on where you go in heaven.
Yep.
Trees are very different in many different places in heaven. They have places where you go where the trees are like turquoise or purple. I mean, they have purple leaves.
The mountainous spices.
The mountainous spices. If you go there in heaven, it's one of the highest mountains in all of heaven, the mountainous spices.
This place makes
and
me happy.
And every level you go up, I'd say maybe every, I don't know, 40, 50 feet, you never get tired going up there. The aroma, the very aroma of the ground, the color of the leaves on the trees will change. It's like...
it's like fall.
It is. It's like fall there all
eternally
the time.
Eternally fall.
And so you go up to another level, the leaves are a whole different color. The
and they smell like different spices.
Yeah, they smell just like amazing spices. So
yeah.
That place is different from, let's say, Passionate Paradise, where all the trees are, they look like... this different type of a palm tree, like the leaves could be 10 feet long because the tree is 200 feet high. And it has, and when the leaves move, they sing to Jesus. And these are like almost like rainbow colors coming off of these leaves of these trees in this place called Passionate Paradise. It's about having love for Christ in heaven.
And then there's the friendly forest.
And then there's the friendly forest where all the trees themselves can be, even the tree trunks can be different colors. The leaves can be different colors. They have faces
yes!
on them. And they literally, you can sing with these trees. And they have different types of fruit, or they do have some nuts
and
in different places.
They can uproot themselves
and
walk
in the friendly
you.
Forest is why it's called friendly. They literally have a place in the friendly forest where the trees can uproot themselves and they will walk with you.
That's so cool.
In
sounds
this
like
place, in the place.
I know, doesn't it?
A lot of ideas we see in movies today because those are ideas that
ideas,
come down from heaven.
Yeah, ideas only.
And they go into the mind of man and people will apply them in their stories, in their books, in their artwork, in movies. I can't tell you how many I have seen in the Star Wars series. Things that literally happen in the spirit realm. I see them getting closer and closer in some movies to the actual reality of the spirit realm. And that's going to be in some of the movies that we will eventually be producing ourselves. But God's not hiding anymore. You know, heaven is still the greatest mystery ever, but he's revealing himself and revealing his home all the time. But the trees, that's why when you see our books or some of our art, you'll see purple leaves on the trees or turquoise leaves or striped colored leaves or rainbow colored trees, because that's what heaven is. It is a beautiful place filled with splendor and wonder.
Cool.
Awesome. And I think you have a recorded message.
Yeah, I keep
question.
I keep meeting these strange people on my travels. And this one I met, I don't know. I don't know if you can understand him. I think this one was at the gym.
My name is Rocco. Rocco, I'm a boxer. Now I know, like, I like Jesus. I like the disciples. I like the Holy Ghost. I like the Father. But I want to know, okay, you know, I like to box. And I'm very tough. And it hasn't affected my brain at all. I can count to eight. And I just want to know, okay, just want to know. Like, I like to box. Have I told you that yet? I like to box. And I want to know, what do I do in heaven? Because there's no violence there, right? So, hey, Cap, what I do with my boxing skills when I get to heaven? Who am I going to take on? I take on Goliath. No, he's not even there anymore. I take on Samson. Yo, Cap, come on, man. You got to let me know.
So, I met that guy in the gym. He was a real character, and I said I would ask the question.
So what
do you do about boxing when you get to heaven, right? Because they don't have violent contact sports, okay? They have all of the types of sports. They don't really have boxing, so you will probably have another skill that you can use there more than likely.
You can hang out with Samson.
You can
Rocco,
hang out with Samson, you know? Samson, and maybe they... I will say this, they do have competitions in heaven, like the Olympics. So maybe there'll be some way you can turn that into something that's nonviolent. It could be some other way to use that in heaven. God does that sometimes, where you wouldn't be hitting people. Maybe you'll be hitting some other kind of an image or something. And use that skill that way. But You won't be disappointed when you get there because there's so much to do. But I do know there aren't, there's no boxing. There's no anything that causes harm or danger to people in heaven. But almost every other kind of sport is there. They have sports in the extreme. You don't even need helmets. And it's
done as worship.
It's all done as worship, even football.
Yep.
When the two teams play, they're trying to win because they want to win for Jesus Christ. And whichever team wins, they get to pick up Jesus and carry him across the field. I've actually was at a football game in heaven. And people go, well, that wouldn't be there. Well, everyone who has a gift, that gift they will use in heaven. So athletes have gifts.
Yep.
That's why they have it in heaven. But every point in heaven goes to Jesus. And every team tries to do greater so they get him more points. So, but I'm sure the boxing thing is going to be okay. It'll work out okay. So maybe they'll have a competition where you have to box against a target or something. That may not be so easy if that happens, because I know heaven is really good at developing and creating things that challenge you. So all I can say is get ready to have fun and be challenged.
Okay, do we have time for one more? One more question.
One more
okay,
question.
This is a question about when Jesus died on the cross. It's from Emma, and it's on the podcast, and she wanted to know if you have a revelation on what happened to the saints that came out of their tombs and were seen walking around after the crucifixion. Did their bodies get raptured? What happened to them?
That is a great question, and almost nobody has asked me that.
And she even put the scripture, which is Matthew 27:52-53.
Yeah, there was a great earthquake when Christ died on the cross.
And it says the tombs were also opened.
And the tombs opened. You'll notice the ones that opened weren't the wicked people.
No,
I want to make a
point.
I want to make a point because some people think everybody just was a free-for-all. It was the saints. The saints of God
were
at
raised,
that time.
Yeah.
Yes. Most of them were from ancient times that served God himself. They served God, you know, that they believed in God because Christ hadn't come to even to the earth yet and to die on the cross. So that would be like Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, King David, Solomon, all these others. They were normally, when they died in the flesh, their spirit man would descend into Abraham's bosom or paradise. That's where their spirit man was.
Yeah.
But when this earthquake happened, their spirits were caught up into their bodies, or they couldn't have come out of the grave, I promise you. Your body can't do anything without your spirit man in it.
That's
if
right.
If it could, then Satan would be harvesting the graveyards, which he can't, and he can't make zombies. There is no thing. I'm just going to throw this in for free because people have asked me all these questions about the grave. Okay? When you die as a believer, now your spirit man goes to heaven. Before Christ died on the cross, it would descend. But on the day, it so affected the very earth itself when Christ died. And I'm telling you why it affected it. And I think in the third hour or something, it was something like that. That when Christ died on the cross, it so affected the earth because his spirit man went down in the earth.
Yeah.
And he went to Abraham's bosom. He went there to visit the saints. Remember, he told the thief, "Today I'll be with you in paradise." Now, I do realize that Christ died before the thief did. Because it says so.
Mm-hmm.
It says Christ died, and so therefore they broke the legs of the two thieves so that they would die quicker. So Christ was already in Abraham's bosom. When he entered into the earth, it caused such a disruption in the earth itself. That's why the earthquake happened, because he went in there. And it also affected those who had died and moved to Abraham's bosom. They weren't harvested at that time. They actually, it said they were seen walking around. It doesn't say what happened to them later.
No, it doesn't. It just says they were seen.
But Christ had to have a chance in Abraham's bosom to preach the gospel to them. So either that happened after he had preached the gospel to them, or that was just a sign and a wonder for the people that that was the Son of God. And they all descended back down in there because he had to preach the gospel to them in their spirit man.
Yeah.
And they all received him. And then he still didn't take them out, because if you remember the word, he had to be in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Christ crossed over from paradise or Abraham's bosom over to hell, where he had to be there. And on the third day, when he was raised from the dead.
Yeah.
And he defeated hell. Everybody knows that. It says he wasted principalities and powers in hell itself. And then after that, he ascended back up, got his body from the tomb, came outside the tomb, was seen by a few people. And then from that point, he told Mary, I have to go back to my father. He went back to heaven, and then he led all the saints with him, because they couldn't enter into heaven until he poured his blood out on the mercy seat. So he goes in first into heaven's gates, into heaven, poured his blood out on the mercy seat, and then all of them who were waiting came and joined him. So after that, Abraham's bosom in paradise was emptied, and it's never been used again, because those were those who were righteous and counted righteous by God, but they did receive Christ. So either one of the, I don't know which one happened first, but I do know that Christ preached the gospel in Abraham's bosom in paradise, and he led captivity captive. That means those who had been held captive, that's not hell, that was paradise. He led captive, he captivated him with his sacrifice and his love, and then when he rose up from the dead, then he took them all into heaven.
It's a pretty wild question. It's like a really, it's a big one, because you kind of wonder.
You can't give just a simple answer to that question. Yeah. You can't.
Maybe I wonder if there's a few people walking around that have been around for a few thousand years.
Hey,
I don't know about a few thousand years, but there are people on the earth here that have been here for hundreds of years.
Yeah.
They have been. God kept them.
Yep. Kept him. And there's a mystery there. There's a mystery to
That's another whole podcast, buddy.
It is. Another whole podcast. He kept him right without dying.
Well, maybe we can invite some over for dinner, and then we can have a podcast with them. Then we get the full story right here.
We have more than a podcast.
That would be pretty awesome.
Yes, there are some that God has kept. And I mean, that shouldn't be a shock. He said that to John.
Okay, have you met any of them? Is that too much of a question to ask?
I haven't met, and they're called Desert Fathers or Mothers in the Lord.
How do you know about them then, if you don't mind me asking? I mean, you say they're there.
They talk about them in heaven.
Oh, okay. So they're kind of referenced.
When I've been up to heaven. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, God.
So you didn't have tea with one of them then?
No, I didn't have tea. I wouldn't have tea anyway. I don't like it. Okay. I'd have an icy.
Hot chocolate.
an icy or hot chocolate.
I have met like Elijah, Enoch, Melchizedek. I have met many who are living in heaven right now.
Do they have their physical bodies then, some of them?
I don't think that they... Well, I can tell you Elijah does, of course. Elijah and Enoch both have their physical bodies. They have the physical bodies. But the word clearly says, in the day when the dead in Christ shall be raised. And as far as I know, people who die now don't go home to heaven with the physical body.
Right, right.
They live in their spiritual body.
I'm just asking random questions.
Or people would be seeing their relatives hanging around every now and then.
That's, All right, so I think that's it for podcast number 46.
Yes, we'll do the other stuff, another one.
We have lots more to talk about on the next episode.
It's been a long one, guys. Yep,
it's been good. A long one.
Remember to run your race.
Yes, run your race.
And stay focused.
And keep your soul
clean. Yes.
Keep it cleaned out. Loose anything from your soul that you don't want there. Just loose it as an act of your will. And then you bind the thing. It's the keys to the kingdom, people. Yep. Keys to the kingdom.
Okay. So, you know, check on her YouTube. Check her Facebook. We got lots going on. And we will talk to you guys later.
Yes. Okay. I hear the bell.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.